Yes. I do know that he has to run, so we've managed to grab him just in time. It's a great pleasure to have him on the line from Brisbane. He is the former Premier of Queensland, the former Lord Mayor of Brisbane, and as of Saturday, Liberal Democrats Senate candidate. Good morning, Campbell Newman.
G'day, Gavin, and great to be with you.
Now, how have you been in the last few days? You travelled all over the state there in the race for the Senate, didn't get across the line on Saturday, but you put in a hell of a campaign without this type of infrastructure, I guess, that so many of the other parties, even the minor parties like Palmer had. You didn't have those lower house candidates in numbers that are required to help boost the Senate vote. How are you feeling, mate? How's the last couple of days been in the wash-up?
Look, I guess firstly, no, I didn't do too well, and I guess there are various factors for that, but look, it was just great to be out across Queensland again over the last, it's almost been a nine-month journey, but particularly the last four or five have been very busy, and it was great to get out and talk to people, men and women across the state, particularly people in small business, people in chambers of commerce and the local councils. I'm really appreciative of the time that mayors across the state, your mayor, for example, gave me, is very generous with his time and his CEO, to hear about what's going on in far north Queensland. So, look, I just want to say thank you this morning. Yeah, I'm sorry I'm not going to get the opportunity to represent Queensland in the Senate. Certainly, I'm always going to be an advocate for this state and for the things that we need.
As you travelled around, and you did visit a lot of regional areas, of course, as you said, particularly in the last 3 to 4 weeks. I mean, did the outcome on Saturday in Queensland surprise you at all? Was it, you know, you had your finger on the pulse in so many cities across the state? Was it what you expected unfolded in Queensland at least on Saturday night?
Well, I did, expect the sort of result that saw a very strong vote for the coalition still in Queensland. It is their strongest state. And I think that's just because of the pragmatic approach of Queenslanders. I think Queenslanders are really in tune with, you know, important day-to-day needs of their lives, bringing up their families. Queenslanders get where Australia's bread is buttered. And what I'm talking about, of course, is the importance of our resources sector. Queenslanders are not buying into a lot of the left-wing woke stuff. They know there are more pressing issues on their in their daily lives than some of the stuff that people rabbit on about who are in Canberra, Brisbane, Sydney and Melbourne. In the main, this is still a state where, you know, individual effort and private enterprise is what people are focused on.
What about your part of the world, Campbell? The Greens obviously absolutely smashed it down there in your part of the world, almost mirroring, I guess, what the Teal candidates did in Sydney and Melbourne. I mean, can you explain that for listeners in regional Queensland?
Well, the inner cities are parts of Brisbane, Sydney and Melbourne have all gone fairly less. And, you know, the way I explain it is that you've got people who are in the professional classes, whether it be in, you know, literally the professions, the law, top accounting firms, people who are senior in the media, the judiciary and the law, the commentariat, if you like, universities. And that's where those people live. And their outlook on the world, I'm afraid, is somewhat different from the rest of Australia. Even before this election, when I was talking to people about, you know, political strategies for the conservative side of politics, I used to talk to people about what I would call, you know, a donut theory. And what I'm saying is that the inner cities really aren't going to be the areas that the coalition or conservative forces can really go after in the future. It's really the middle and outer suburbs, and then the regions of the states. The change is quite pronounced. And the difficult and challenging thing is that, you know, the media particularly, and if you like, the public discourse in Australia is dominated by people who live in those areas. But, you know, the silent majority are not there. They are actually elsewhere. They're in those places I just mentioned. So that's the problem we have. And it is a problem because, you know, we're now you know, embarking on a direction which, you know, the new government has, you know, said they're going to, you know, pursue, even though they've only got about 30% of the primary vote themselves, that will actually see us really start to wound the country economically. And I'm deeply concerned about that. And clearly, though, the majority of Queenslanders don't believe in that direction. You know, the people in the regions, the people in the middle and outer suburbs of Brisbane, the aspirational people, they actually don't believe in that stuff, and they don't agree with where we're about to go.
Just on those inner city voters, Campbell, those inner city elites, as you said, I mean, are they just so comfortable in their life? I mentioned yesterday Dave Sharma's comments down in Wentworth and looked at some of the census data at Wentworth. I think the over 12% of voters in Wentworth earn over $3,000 a week, which is about five times what the national average is at about 2.5% people earn that much money. So are they almost so comfortable? Cost of living doesn't particularly affect them. You know, other issues that affect particularly people in the regions doesn't affect them. And so they turn their attention to other matters, and obviously climate change being one of them. I mean, is that part of the issue and the divide in this country these days?
Oh, Gavin, I think you sort of really put your finger on it. Pardon me, absolutely. I think these people are very, very well off. And when you're very well off, you can turn your attention to more esoteric concerns rather than the day-to-day of bringing up your family, you know, paying the bills and making your way ahead in life. And whilst, you know, people across Queensland, outside that very small inner city area, the whole of the donut, to complete the thought I was making before, you know, the vast majority of people across the state are concerned about those day-to-day things, whereas the inner city folk who are on a very good wicket, they don't have to worry about it. And it's as stark as that. It is quite confronting, because, you know, this divide can't continue. And it's all very well to say that, you know, we should go on a particular course to net zero or whatever, if you're able to pay for it. But if you're not, it's outrageous that people are forcing this upon you. And you know, I'm sad to reflect, we are about to see very big increases in our cost of living, particularly from energy, through high electricity prices, high gas prices. And this stuff's happening because our commentariat, our elite, don't want to wake up to the fact that since the invasion of the Ukraine, the world really is sort of taking a different stance on these things. You know, like the Ukrainian invasion by Russia has really got people in Europe, leaders in Europe, realising that this whole net zero thing is a big mistake and that energy supply security is vitally important. I wish, you know, the leaders in Australia would catch on and appreciate this. By the way, there was a very interesting article in the Wall Street Journal in the last few days about a senior economist executive of the HSBC Banking Corporation, who's a lot of hot water because this individual dared to stand up at an international conference and say the response to climate change is over the top and without perspective. Sound familiar? COVID-19, perhaps? And this guy has basically been suspended. He's lost his job, it looks like, because he actually dared say the sort of things that I'm alluding to, which is that we shouldn't be in a headlong rush to go net zero, be completely crippling our economies and imposing huge costs of living increases on everyday folk.
That's right. And that was Stuart Kirk, Campbell. Stuart Kirk from HSBC. And he said at a conference, I think an investment conference, that, quote, "There's always some nut job telling me about the end of the world." And Stuart Kirk.
Sounds familiar, mate.
Sounds familiar.
Sort of, we've had a lot of that. This guy's in a lot of trouble. But he then made the point, which I would make, that there are so many people now who are too timid to say these things. Well, I can assure you this, if people want to talk to me, Gavin, I will always be prepared to call this stuff out because it's just so important for hardworking men and women across Queensland who just want to bring up their family and live their lives. I won't stand by and allow them to be done over by inner city people who are making big bucks. And in many of them cases, many of them are conflicted because they're on the gravy train, on the bandwagon with this stuff, just seeing the opportunity to make money off, you know, the new carbon credit sort of system or net zero projects. I mean, that's a lot of stuff, by the way, that doesn't get talked about. That a lot of these people talking about that and promoting it are totally conflicted. It's about money.
All right. I know you have to run. So finally, let's turn, you touched on it there a little bit earlier, Campbell Newman, is the strategy now for the Liberal Party in particular. The Nats seem fairly comfortable. They, of course, retained all of their seats and picked up an extra one in the Senate elsewhere. So let's focus on the Liberal Party. As I mentioned earlier in the show, you come from almost Liberal Party royalty, apart from your own credentials with the party. Of course, your mum and dad both served in the federal government. Are you pleased that Peter Dutton now seems guaranteed to be the new leader of the Liberal Party? And just talk a little bit about your thoughts on, I mean, what should they do? Should they stay firm in the centre? Should they switch to the left a little bit to try and pick up some of those inner city seats? Should they go further to the right, as some certainly callers have suggested on this show? Your thoughts?
Well, Gavin, just reminding listeners, of course, I'm no longer with the Liberal or Liberal National parties. I'm with the Liberal Democrats, who are a Libertarian Party. So really, I'm just looking back at old group, if I can call it that. Look, I'd say this. The way forward is for the Liberal Party to try, and the Liberal National Party, to be a true party of the centre. I think the mistake, though, has been in the last few years is that there have been many voices who now have just lost their seats in those inner city seats who actually did take the party to the left. Going, for example, to net zero was a complete capitulation and a sellout of those men and women in regional Queensland that I've just been talking about. And that was a huge mistake. And when you do that, it immediately means that you're in a competition with the Greens and even Labor to be more green. And you can never be more
you
green.
Can't win
you can
that.
Never out-green the Greens.
Right.
They will always say, well, net zero, well, we should have done it more quickly. We need bigger cuts. We need to do it faster. You know, we need to spend more money on it. You can't outspend and you can't out-green. So that was a mistake. But what needs to happen now is I think we do need to see Peter Dutton as the leader. He needs to, you know, try and straddle the middle. He needs to, by the way, step back from some of the rhetoric which he used during the election campaign, which I thought was over the top. But I just say to listeners, the Peter Dutton that you've been told about in the media is not the real Peter Dutton. He is a thoroughly decent human being. He is a tremendous individual. He's a man of integrity. And I say that because he is a political opponent now. but he is so many things. He's a man of quality and of such quality, head and shoulders above so many in politics today. So I was also pleased, by the way, to see our new Prime Minister give Tanya Plibersek a slap over the wrist about her characterisation of Peter Dutton in the last 24 to 48 hours. I think that was good. That needed to happen. So I just hope he can sort of, you know, put his arms around the party, not take them to the left. That would be ridiculous. And certainly there's no need to go to the right either. It's about sort of supporting the values of the Liberal Party, about small business, about individual enterprise, about trying to, you know, come back with policies that incentivise people and get taxes down low. That's certainly what we'll be talking about in the Liberal Democrats in the weeks and months ahead.
Excellent insights, as always. I know you have to run to a board meeting, so, mate, really appreciate your time on the talk show today. Thank you, Campbell Newman.
Thanks, Gavin, and great to have the opportunity to say a few words, and thank you, Cairns, for the support that you gave me and your mayor, as I've said before.
Excellent stuff. That's Campbell Newman, of course, former Premier of Queensland, and he was a Senate candidate for the Liberal Democrats in the election just passed. The time is on 18 to 10. You're with Gavin King on 4CA Talk.